What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. I had a crazy gear issue. I'm kind of having it, so let's get maybe.
I can hear you. I can see you. So it, but you're at least that.
So
far.
Yeah. So I connect. Well, one, I connect. I use my camera. I went to the beach the other day. I brought my ZV-1 yeah. that I use for. Well, first, everybody say hi to Ryan. Ryan's here. Let me pop this monster.
I thought I was going to be the only one for a minute.
I switched
drinks freaking tonight. Out. I'm doing like a coffee-based drink tonight. So, yeah, so, I was getting a little anxious.
I didn't even put any of our stuff out on social media. I got to do that right now. It's like, so anyways, I took this camera to make like a little vlog for the, like at the beach the other day. Mm-hmm. And I bring it back and like, for some reason, like all the settings are like reset on it. So first, it's like one, like right now, it's like tracking my eyes and my face, you know. Right. So me is always in focus, basically. Yeah. So it wasn't doing that for some reason. It's like it can't do it, and I was like, what? So I figured that out, and then I like finally connected to my computer and do all the stuff, and the HDMI out is not clean. So it has all the stuff like on it. And I'm like, what's going on? And like, as soon as I would connect the HDMI, the screen that I'm like the pop out screen on the camera would go black. And I'm like, what's going on? Cause like, that's actually what I look like. I can see myself on the screen here, but I look at this camera or at that's like the little screen. So I can see where I'm at. And I was just like, how is this even happening? And then I get that figured out. And then my mic's not working. NVIDIA Broadcast just like set another device to my mic, which like my audio interface hasn't been unplugged. It was just like everything was going wrong. So welcome to the podcast, Bob. You know, awesome.
I was like, okay, I'm in the waiting room, so I don't think it's gonna just like kick me in as soon as it starts. But I was like going over the notes. I was like, all right, yep, I can do this. We're good.
So, yeah.
Oh, you're welcome to the show.
Kosher Tech is in the house. Yeah, California man. Yeah, it's crazy because I'm doing this at 5 o'clock, so I feel like I just like ate like a early dinner, and now I'm like right on to the podcast, which actually is good. It gives me time to edit it at night so that it's ready to go in the morning. But gotcha. Let me post our socials here real quick.
So is your screen above your camera or to the side? Is it always on then when you're like right now it's on?
What's my pop out screen? Yeah. Yeah.
See mine goes black unless I like hit the focus, the shutter on it.
Okay, so this one,
I think I can probably leave it on or change the setting. I guess I haven't really thought about
it. I've had some issues and the camera's not set up correctly. Like I can see it's doing stuff it's not supposed to be doing. So hopefully we make it through the podcast without any issues. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, let's get into all this, I guess. Was this the second podcast in the new place?
Last week it was the first one. Yeah.
So last week was the first one. We're in here now. This right here might fall again because it fell
again
earlier. Yeah. I put it up like a half an hour ago and then it fell. And then I just put it up again and it's staying. But if it falls, Ryan will take over the podcast while I fix it. Because there, even with the blinds, there's direct glare in my face and I don't want to go blind. So,
no. Yeah.
But beyond that, yeah. So, Kosher Tech says new place is looking good. Yeah, it's getting there. I did some test shots for video today. Not 100% done. I'm getting these blackout. They're like decent.
You found some?
Oh, I was going to build my own. So, my initial plan was to build inserts for the windows because like the actual window sill is like pretty deep. So I could build something that I could just like go put inside. Up in there.
Yeah.
That was the initial plan. And then the stuff that I needed, I have a drill, but I don't have like a saw to cut the wood and do all this stuff. And it was just like going to be one, it was going to be a lot of time. And two, I'm not like a tools guy.
Well, could you do like a big block of foam? Like
so,
soft, well, like
so
chair foam and wrap it or something?
Yeah, so a lot of people may like have made actually soundproofing panels with and a lot of people have made panels to go in their windows to keep heat down or keep the cold out and stuff like that. So, you know, like the Pink Panther insulation, like big pieces. Yeah. I was like, oh, just I'll get that. I'll cut it. I'll cover it in felt and it would be like perfect. Well, the problem is that they only sell that in 4 foot by 8 foot things. And it's one, it's not going to fit in my car. And two, they won't cut it there for me because it makes too much of a mess. Like they won't actually cut it for you. Yeah. So I was like, and I was looking through all these things and all this stuff. And I was like, there's this company called, I think it's called Easy Inserts or something, where you can send them the dimensions of your window. And then they'll send you basically like an insert that uses Velcro, kind of like command strips that will go directly on the window. Oh, okay. So I measured these, I sent them the thing and they're sending, it was like for these two windows and that one, it was like $120, not crazy expensive, but yeah. I think it'll be worth it once we get it all, you know, set up. And so the thing is that I wanted something that would be easy to take down and put back up.
Right.
Obviously I'm renting, so I couldn't just get a big blackout shade, like, you know, or anything, because I'd have to screw in the holes for the rod and all that stuff. And I went through a bunch of different things. So hopefully those come by next podcast. I don't know. They said 3 to 5 days. Who knows? So say that's my whole conundrum before the podcast. So,
yeah.
So we're just coming along here. So let's get into review stuff. And did I not put the notes up here?
270. They're up. I posted.
Oh yeah, okay. So I was on the wrong one. So here we go. 270. So this week I actually did two really great products. The first is one you guys have probably heard of, and I actually am incredibly surprised at this processor. So it's the Intel Core i5 11600K, and at the end of the day, it AMD beats it, but Intel has got the price on this. They've really, really got the price on this thing. Let's bring up the review here. So this is their mid-range offering in their new Rocket Lake S line. So what is this? This is a 6-core, 12-thread. If you guys remember last generation, Intel brought in with them they finally brought hyper-threading to the Core i5. That was like the big thing last generation. This generation, obviously, you're still getting hyper-threading. You're getting a boost in clocks. So you have a base clock of 3.9 gigahertz, and then it boosts all the way up to 4.9 gigahertz, 512 kilobytes of L3 cache per core, 12 megabytes of shared L3 cache. And it's $262. I think you can actually find it a little bit cheaper right now, which is like $250.
That's a pretty good deal. Yeah.
$250 for a 6-core, 12-thread Intel chip is really, really good. So if we look, you can see all the pictures and stuff. I mean, it's a processor, so it's not anything great. Yeah, it's a processor. But if we look at our results here, and if we, you know, if we compare it to AMD's offering, which is the Ryzen 5 5600X, which we did review as well, it gets decently beaten, right? And in almost all of our tests, you see it's right below. We do see great performance over the i5-10600K, which is effectively replacing, just like we saw with the Ryzen 5 3600X, you know, that getting beat out by the 5600X. So you're seeing this beats the 3600X as well as the 10600K and pretty much all of our testing. It does have really good single core if you have a game or application that's really made for single core. We saw that in a few of our game tests, but overall it sits below the 5600X and almost all of our testing. You know what I mean? Like you can see in the single core here, it beats the 5600X in the Cinebench single core. But for the most part, the Ryzen 5 5600X beats it, which is fine. you know. Now, if Intel went ahead and priced this on par with the 5600X, I would be like, well, you know, and if they maybe if they even priced it like $10-$15 cheaper, I'd still say get the 5600X, right? But if you look at the price of the 5600X, which got that, like all Ryzen 5000 series chips got that price bump, you know, that we saw, the Ryzen 5600X is $350. This is wow. Basically, if it's still the same price, let's see, the Amazon price is $254.99. You know, it's $100 difference.
Yeah, that's a pretty compelling argument to go with Intel at this yeah. price and performance or performance level, right?
It's I was really surprised. I mean, and the thing is that you hear Rocket like S, and especially the 11900K, everybody was like, that's trash. It's trash. Yeah. Like this whole, and then you think this whole lineup's trash. And it's not at all.
That's not true.
And, no. And the thing is, too, is like, it's not beating AMD. Usually you have a back and forth, right? You have, so AMD came out first, and then Intel's going to come out and have processors that obviously beat the AMD processors. And that's not true this generation. But they're not priced on par, or I mean, this is a $100 difference. That's a big, big difference. Yeah. We always talk about what $100 that you could, where that $100 could go, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that this is an incredible value for a 6-core, 12 thread part. You have the new platform, and with the new platform, you do get quite a lot. You get Gen 4 on the top M.2 slot. You get Gen 4 on the top PCI Express slot. You get USB 3.2 Gen 2 times 2. So the Z590 motherboards have quite a lot. But I just think that I was really, really surprised at the value of this. It overclocks decently well. At clock speeds, it's not going to get hot at all. But if you put more into it, it is going to get decently hot. But you can't overclock it. I think we got either 5 or 5.1 gigahertz all core on this. And that's on air cooling too. So, like I said, it's a decent little chip. $250. I mean, you think about that. We'd always talked about when the Ryzen 5 3600X came out. It was around that price, and we were like, for that price, it's such a good deal. And I think Intel has the price on this. They're like, I wouldn't call it the budget option because I don't think it's necessarily a budget chip, mm-hmm. but it's. I mean, when you think about processors these days and the prices, I mean, $250 is not a lot to spend on a processor, and you're getting a lot. You know,
I think like when I bought my 4790K, I think it was like 350, and it had been out for a while, you know, and that was just a 4-core A thread part back then. And now you're spending, yeah, 250, 260 on this, and at the clocks that we're getting, right? Yeah.
And especially to undercut AMD by that much.
Yeah.
It's, you can't. Can't
if you're on the fence, this could definitely push you to the Intel camp for sure. Like,
yeah,
I don't.
Especially because at least right now, I don't know. Let me go on Amazon. Now,
does this come with a cooler, a stock cooler?
It does not. It does not.
Okay. Ryzen, so I mean, you can just throw a Hyper 212 or an AI or something like
you
on this.
Can't, and be fine. You can't even buy a Ryzen 5 5600X right now. Oh, wait, let's see.
They're just not available.
Oh no, it is in stock.
360. Yeah.
For a while, you couldn't find these. You know what I mean? But again, I mean, look at that price compared to the 259 or whatever. I mean, that's big, you know, big deal. So, yeah, keep that in mind. You know what I mean? But like I said, I think that this, I you can't say anything bad about it based on the price. That's all I'd say. I mean,
yeah,
like just like when all the times when Intel was beating AMD, we said AMD's budget option or a less expensive option, and you can really build a great system with the part that doesn't perform as good as its counterpart, but you're saving money. You know what I mean? So yeah, I said, I liked it. It felt really good. It was like a change. Cause you know, Intel's usually the higher price parts, and you know, that's the one that everybody wants. And it was like
when you're making graphs and everything, you're like, oh wait, oh this Intel bar has to go below the AMD, which you know sometimes you're not used to. It's kind of
it was nice to see them The biggest thing about this is the price. I mean, it's just really nice that they didn't go on par, like they, because they went on par, kind of on par with the 11 900K, and it should be much cheaper than what it is.
For how it is performing.
Yeah, for however it performs. So yeah, go ahead and check that review out. And if you want to match that with a motherboard, I took a look at ASRock's Z590 PG Velocita motherboard. Velocita, I think in French or Italian, means speed, I think. I think that's I don't know. But it's part of their Phantom Gaming line. It basically sits as their highest Phantom Gaming line product. Obviously, Phantom Gaming means that it is it's their gaming line. It's like their ROG or the Aorus line. That's what it is for ASRock. And I have to say, this is one of the better designed ASRock boards that I've seen. I mean, if you look at it, they've kind of mixed up the colors a little bit with the gray and the black together. It's kind of like a mashup, and which I kind of like.
I think I'd like it without the red. I always just go towards make them neutral colors and let people pick via RGB or other components what they want that highlight color to be, you know. But Phantom Gaming's always had that, like their PG logo, right, is the kind of silver and gray and red. So it makes sense. It's a little busy looking for me. There's a lot going on with it, but looks like they've spent a lot of time.
Yeah, and it's really cool. So this section right here is actually like an acrylic window that you can see in. And the RGB lighting is actually inside here, which is pretty cool too. Even though it's probably going to be covered by your graphics card, which I'll show you. But overall, the board has everything that you would want in the Z590 platform. The top M.2 is, of course, Gen 4. You have three total M.2s. You do have USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, but it's by header. It's not on the back of the board. And the reason that they had to do that is because this board has both killer Ethernet, which is a 2.5 gig LAN port, and it has killer wireless, which is the 802.11ax or Wi-Fi 6E. Now, with the Ethernet port, they've made direct PCI Express. They've taken a direct PCI Express lane to the CPU itself. So there's less latency on that port. So again, this is a gaming focused board. That is a gaming focused feature. Yep. You want, nobody wants lag. We have lag sometimes, and it is not fun. You know, so I think that is for me, being a storage guy, I don't like that. But as a gamer, I like that feature because I know that my LAN connection is going to be rock solid, right? You're not going to have as many issues as if the controller was, you know, by itself, which is pretty cool. So you have both killer on both of those. If you've ever worked with killer and their software, it's really, really, you can really like down to the games that you're playing, you can optimize your traffic. You can do quite a lot. So overall, really good board. It does have the active cooling fan on top of the VRM cooling. I didn't hear it that much. You can tune the fan within their fan tuning software or in the BIOS, and no issues there. I believe the power delivery is 14 phase, 12 plus 2 with 50 amp power stages. No issues. I ran the 11900K on it, overclocked. No VRM heat or any type of issues there. Just a good overall board. This board doesn't necessarily have the fit and finish of the Aorus board that we looked at, but the pricing is considerably different. Compared, it does have the power and reset. I love this because I use these on test benches. Yep. But power and reset on the board, you have both regular RGB and addressable RGB, two headers each, two on the top, two on the bottom. So you can add more RGB if you want. All of the M.2 slots do have the thermal tape just on the one side. You can get a better look at this little section right here. It looks pretty cool. It's just
neat. Now, is that perforated piece actually perforated, or is there a window over that too?
There's a window over that.
Okay.
So the whole thing is kind of like a window, which is pretty cool.
Gotcha.
Like I said, you have plenty of USB on here, Wi-Fi 6E. And again, you have USB 3.2 Gen 2, except for this type C is not the 2x2, like I said. That's the only downside to this board, honestly. I'll show you the RGB. You don't get a whole lot of RGB, which like ASRock has really toned it down compared to like a couple generations ago. But you do have like the ASRock logo lights up. You have some little lighting that kind of goes over the Velocita logo. And then that window, like I said, I mean, I have a rather large graphics card, but most graphics cards will cover it. So you're not going to see it all that much. But like I said, overall, I really like this. And one thing I do like about ASRock 2 is their BIOS, which I did a video on. Their BIOS is one of, at least for organization, when you get into the advanced mode, everything is like in its own folder. Like everything to do with the CPU, is in a folder. Everything to do with the memory is in a folder. Everything to do with voltage and power is in a folder. You don't have to go through like so many times when I'm going through the BIOS, I'm like, where is this one setting for CPU voltage? Is it in the CPU section? Is it in the power? So, like, where is it? It's all organized in this BIOS, which I did a video on, so you guys can check it out. But they've just kind of made it super easy. And especially when you're doing all the power stuff for overclocking, especially on this generation of Intel processors, you want to find those settings much easier than a lot of BIOS.
Hopping around menus.
Yeah. And this BIOS seems more polished than a lot of the other ones. It seems like BIOSes were really rushed out for this generation, so it seems more polished. So overall, I gave it a 9 out of 10. The only downside is that you do lose that rear USB 3.2 Gen 2 2x2. But overall, like I said, 9 out of 10. It's $289.99, which I think is very fair for what you're getting. Again, you're getting Wi-Fi 6E, you're getting 2.5 gig LAN, you're getting everything else. And like I said, it's a good overall board. So definitely, definitely go ahead and check that out. Sysadmin, our friend Derek, he said that AMD and Xilinx, is that how you say that? Their stocks are crashing right now.
I looked. They were down a bit, but I don't know if I'd call it crashing, but they're definitely.
Like this past year, like got into stocks a little bit. And like, if you watch, it's kind of like same thing, like with crypto, like if you watch it, you're like, what is going on? Sometimes you're like,
especially this last year, so much more retail trading and just all the craziness. Yeah. And
that's what, like, if I just do it like as an investment, not as like a get rich quick thing. I'm like, I just,
cause you'll freak out when it drops and you're like, I just lost a couple hundred dollars, you know? And you're like, just chill out. Just watch it. Yeah, it's definitely
like I don't enjoy gambling that much for the same reason, because it's like, one, it doesn't do anything for me. Like, I'd rather play a video game. And two, it's like when I do lose, I'll get upset. So So let's move on to Case Mod Friday. And there's an awesome build from the high resolution computer shop. I think they're in Thailand. I forget where they are. They have this awesome build in the Cougar Blazer case, which is an awesome case. And we've seen builds like this with this color theme, which is like the industrial kind of like the liquid is made to look like oil, I guess you would say.
See, I don't think it looks, I don't picture this as like an industrial look necessarily, but I get what you're going. Yeah. Like some sort of fluid, like,
yeah.
This is an amazing build though. I mean, this looks nuts.
Yeah. The high resolution computer shop were one of the first that we've noticed that did this sort of custom, like, okay. So like, this is the reservoir. I'm assuming this is the main reservoir, and it has some channels built into it, right? But they were like one of the first to do these custom acrylic pieces that act as, instead of doing tubing like you would see the normal hard tubing here, they kind of do these acrylic channels, which are a little different. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. I think it works here. It's a lot of work, obviously, to build those. And then I just would like, you know, you buy tubing from like a company and you're like, yeah, like these are like made to, you know, like they're made for water cooling, and then I'm like, oh, I just build this acrylic piece myself. I don't know if I water sealed it correctly. Like,
yeah, and like I wonder about the O-rings in these things. Do they use like a liquid that just like fills up that gap, or do they get a custom sized O-ring to seal that off? I don't know what the process is for that. But
you would think, because this is a double, like two pieces of acrylic, right?
Right.
So you have the one side, and then you get that O-ring made that size, and you put it in there, and then you put the other. Is that how that works? You put the other side down and screw it.
Yeah. But how do you know, like, where are you getting custom O-rings, right? Or make them in certain shapes?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Go to Thailand. I mean, that, you know, but overall, like I said, this build, I love the colors. This, I forget who had the one. Besides, like, I think blue and white are like one of my favorites, but this is one of my favorites because it's not all the RGB, and the liquid really goes with this color really well. This like oil type liquid color. And it's kind of cool that they did do the hard tubing mixed with this acrylic piece, and it just, everything goes well together. It's a pretty awesome build. More close up of that acrylic piece here. So, yeah, I like it. It's very, very cool.
Yeah.
Let's see if there's...
It's pretty awesome. I do like that, and the one acrylic piece that goes, you know, across the CPU and everything. It continues across there. You can see, you know, it's got that one channel that runs across, but they kept it that same height. So you like, it's transparent, and you see the memory underneath it. I think that's just kind of a cool look.
Yeah. Yeah, it's different. And it's like, really cool. Again, sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't, but it's pretty cool. Whoever started that trend, I'm not sure, but yeah, very cool. So definitely check this one out. As I always say, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday's build. Just go to articles, Case Mod Friday right here on the site. And when it comes up, there's, I don't know how many pages. Does it say how many pages? 43 pages.
That's a lot.
Of K's Mod. So we do it every Friday. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Our moving contest, even though I've already moved, is still going on. This week we're talking about portable. You know, I'm a storage guy. I'm giving away one of these awesome portable SSDs I have. The 2 terabyte version of the Crucial X6. So this is a USB 3.2 Gen 1 drive. So it's not as fast as a Gen 2 drive, but it's 2 terabyte. I mean,
still fast.
Yeah, that's this is like a perfect portable game drive. This is just a perfect like video editing drive, any type of storage drive. And I wish I had it. I should have got it. It's behind me. But it's literally like this big. Like it's super small. Yeah, so we're giving that away. If you guys are familiar with our moving giveaway, thinkcomputers.org/moving. And this is week 13. The entry form is on the page. We just ask you to subscribe to our email newsletter. And then there's a bunch of other ways that you can enter, like subscribing to us on Twitch and YouTube and all this other stuff you can do. But we're trying to keep this going. I'm running out of prizes because I'm running out of hardware to give away to you guys, but we should have some more stuff coming. I want to get it to at least 15 weeks, so we'll see what all we have to give away. But yeah, I've been having a lot of fun doing this, and like I said, it's just good giving back to you guys. So definitely check out that giveaway. New giveaways are announced every Tuesday. So again, thinkcomputers.org/moving. Get in on the giveaways, and we'll move on to news this week. And some rather interesting stories, I would say, this week. A bunch of different products. So usually it's like all CPU or all GPU or all NVIDIA or all AMD, but we have a bunch of different stories.
Yeah. Some from every realm.
Yeah, some for everybody, I would say. First, it looks like the RTX 3080 Ti and the RTX 3070 Ti, the release dates will be pushed back. The RTX 3080 Ti was supposed to be announced on May 18th. Looks like they're pushing it back to May 31st. I think this has a lot to do with maybe that like hash rate stuff and maybe some you know, things aren't ready. That it's usually like the drivers aren't ready, or there's something's not ready for the launch. That's usually what happens. So it looks like they're going to announce both cards on the same day, which would be May 31st. But the release dates or the review dates are different. So typically when, if we do an embargo review, we get it before it comes out. And then the embargo date is usually the release date. So when we put the review out, you can go to the store and buy it. It's usually how it works. Sometimes it's a day later. So at least according to videocards.com, the RTX 3080 Ti, the reviews will go live on June 2nd. And then the RTX 3070 Ti, the reviews will go live on June 9th, which makes sense. It's about a week. So everybody who wanted to get an RTX 3080 Ti and you can't, they're going to try for the RTX 3070 Ti, which you probably won't be able to get either. Yeah. It's so hard to get excited about these things these days. I mean, yeah.
Well, like, I started to get excited about them, knowing that I, you know, probably won't be able to like find one or get one. And then also thinking, well, when's the 40 series going to be announced and coming out, right? So,
well,
always that there's always something new coming. And so you either have to like bite the bullet and pull the trigger and buy something, or you're never going to end up with something new. So,
yeah. So do you think that, now that we're seeing these TIs, I guess they're part of the initial launch. The Supers will, that's how they're going to do it now. So the Super will be the refresh, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Even though we may still have a while on the 30 series, I guess.
I mean, remember, wasn't the 10 series 2 years?
Yeah.
So at this point, they kind of can, because I mean, I guess
they can stretch it out for quite a while.
Because there's,
they just keep selling them. They can't keep them in stock. Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you guys want to know, the 3080 Ti, is basically a 3080 with 12 gigabytes of GDDR6X memory. Of course, the 3080 has 10 gigabytes, so it's mostly a memory thing. The 3070 Ti will max out the GA104 400 silicon. So we'll have 6,144 CUDA cores and 8 gigabytes of GDDR6X memory, which is faster than what's on the 3070. So, yeah. SysAsmin says, initial reports I heard on Resident Evil 8 saying 8 gigabytes on new RTX cards is not enough. Maybe. I don't know. That seems like a lot, but I mean, if you're running 4K with everything turned up, you would need that much. That seems like a lot.
That's kind of what I was wondering. I was, you know, is that what resolution is that at?
Yeah, I wonder what resolution that is. Concern. So.
And I'm sure it's everything high, but yeah.
In the back of my mind, I have this thing. I'm like, okay, so this was initially supposed to be announced at CES, and they knew they weren't going to have stock. So like now, they're going to have stock. Like now there's not going to be any more shortage. But then like, I know that's not true, but like I want it to be true. You know what I mean? Like you want that to be what happens, but I know that's not going to be what happens. Nope. And if there is stock, all the scalpers are going to get them and all this stuff.
And we're thinking the 3080 Ti is going to be that $1,000 card, right? Because you've always said, you know, that's kind of going to fill that gap. So what do we think that 3070 Ti price point is going to look like?
Well, the Nvidia price point, or yeah. I get the, so yeah, what is the 30, yeah. The 3070 was what, $499?
Yeah,
so $599.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, I don't know. Talking about that light hash rate, we talked about it last week. If you guys missed that, really quickly, Nvidia is putting a hash rate limiter on all of their 20 series graphics cards, or not 20 series, 30. All of their 30 series graphics cards. Basically, they're putting on a new chip or a new device ID, the new chips. So, you know, like if you're at the store and you see a 3070 and a 3070, if one has a light hash rate and one doesn't, you won't know the difference. Again, we saw this with the 3060. The people got past it and put out, you know, hack drivers and all this stuff. But it looks like NVIDIA is doing this across the board, which I already said I'm not a fan of. It looks like they will be putting out a new 3060, which will have a new device ID that the old drivers or the hack drivers that won't work on. So they're going to be doing this not only on the entire, like, you know, the rest of the 30 series, but they're going to be redoing it on the 3060. Which
we'll see how long this lasts.
The whole thing with this is people are going to find a way around it.
Yeah, because it feels very Apple-ish, right? Like Apple's so controlling over their app store and their devices and everything. Like,
yeah,
they want to guide you how they want you to use their card.
Yeah,
it's just very heavy-handed, which, you know, you've expressed is not your favorite thing in the world, and I'm kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, my biggest thing is that if this card can do this, it's not like it's a law thing. Like, you know, like what's the thing they put on cars, like a governor or whatever that's called or right. something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like this is not that. And if I want to buy your card to mine with it, you shouldn't limit that.
Like if cryptocurrency mining was illegal.
Yeah.
Right. But you could do it with GPUs, and NVIDIA was putting in a governor to keep it from mining crypto, right? That's one thing. And if people were going around it to do it, right, that's a little different than, well, crypto mining is not illegal. Therefore, if this product can do it, I should be able to do it.
Yeah.
So.
What else was I going to say? I was going to say something. Oh. Yeah. And the thing is, it's like, I don't like the idea of like the bait and switch of them just like putting out new chips with new device IDs that you're not even going to know if the card that you're buying has the light hash rate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, without a designator of some sort.
Yeah.
Right.
But I do believe that this whole thing is brought on by their crypto mining cards. If they didn't have those, we wouldn't be having these issues. Or we wouldn't be having the, I don't think any of this would be going on. You know what I mean? Because they want to sell those. But as we talked about, for most people, those don't have the resale that a normal graphics card would, because they're made for Ethereum mining. And once that's not a thing, they're going to be useless, basically, you know? So, because with a normal graphics card, a gaming graphics card, you can sell that. I mean, I've seen people buying like old graphics cards right now for like considerable money because that's all they can get right now. So, yeah. So, yeah, talking about the 20 or the 3080 Ti, it looks like it might be on sale already, or somebody posted this picture of a MSI 3080 Ti Supreme X. That's like one of their highest cards. It's selling for $3,500.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I assume this is like a shop. This is not like an.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of product boxes in the background that look like they got wrapping, and so.
Yeah, what I mean is like this is not like a Best Buy. You know, overseas the shops do charge the premium. You know, they'll charge like the scalping rate, which. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, it's good to see an actual box because I don't think we've yet seen an actual box, right?
The only thing that looks, I guess, it almost looks like never mind. I was thinking that the logo's upside down for the fans, but I guess the fans are typically on the bottom, right? Yeah. I was trying to figure out like the orientation of this card for a second.
That is a weird, like,
photo. Like, why would you show GeForce RTX upside down?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows? Well, this could be a Photoshop. We don't know.
That's yes, but he wanted some good news, and you said $3,500. I don't think he considers that good news.
That's not good news at all. I mean, the best thing is like to go on, I think there's a YouTube channel and there's a couple other places where like you can see the live, you know, the like live stock alerts. Mm-hmm. Set that up, like make friends with the person who works at Best Buy, because Best Buy will not charge a premium. They'll charge the actual retail price, or if you're close to a micro center, or you know, that's like your best bet, I would say.
Are they even, is Best Buy even selling them in their retail locations, or are they just selling them online?
I don't know. The last Best Buy I was at was back in Pittsburgh, but I went in one and they had graphics cards, like, and they had aftermarket graphics cards, but they weren't like the 30 series. They had a couple 20 series, like, you know.
I saw a meme or a picture the other day. It was like how to buy a 30 series graphics card in 2021, and it was like, go to Micro Center, buy a card. So apparently, you know, people have been having good luck, I think, at getting.
Yeah, I think a lot of the local micro centers, they have like a newsletter and they'll like let people know. And it's very much like a community. A lot of them, like, I've never lived, maybe I live close to one now. I can look actually. But I mean, in Pittsburgh, it was like 3-hour drive. So it wasn't like it was close to me.
Yeah.
Let me see. Micro center. Let's see.
You could have stopped by the one in Kansas City when you drove through there.
Yeah. There's not one here.
Not one around you.
There's a place called Micro Direct.
Probably not the same thing.
It's so funny.
They're not around anymore either.
I live so close to the border, it always shows places in like Tijuana. Because I live so close to the border. Yeah, it's kind of funny. But no, there's not one here. There's FedEx office. And, I don't know where that came. Next Gen Wireless, MPC Electronics. But yeah. I think that the micro centers are very much a community, like they have a community feel, kind of small mom and not a mom and pop, kind of like that type of feel. I know a lot of them, like they'll post what they have on the website, but they'll say in-store buy only, you know, so you have to go to the store to buy it. They won't hold them for you. Like you have to, you know, so yeah. On to AMD news. And this is kind of, we see these and I'm just like, why don't you just show the whole image, you know? But we have some information on Zen 4. So if you know, Ryzen 5000 series was the first Zen 3 product. Zen 4, which is codenamed Raphael, which will come out in 2022. Somebody said that it will be announced late in 2022 with the launch coming soon after that. That's kind of expected. The refresh will be called Warhol, you know, and Raphael will be 5 nanometer, which is exciting. Cool.
Yeah.
That big performance boost. The refresh is never the big performance boost. It's always the, you know, the next process down. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I think that might be the next time I upgrade if I do.
Finn asked, is there an integrated GPU on it? This says Navi 2 right here. See how like the Warhol doesn't say it and this does? So yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not sure. We don't really know. 2022 is, I mean, it's not super far out, but it's not super close either. I think as we get farther along, we'll see more leaks on this. I mean, that's how it always works. You know, we'll see more of this, these images, you know what I mean? More of this leaked little image right here.
Where did that question come from? What app is that?
That is Periscope.
Periscope. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so Vincent, thank you. Gotcha. Which I think they were supposed to phase out Periscope.
That's what I thought.
Call it something else. It's called like Twitter Live Now or something. But it's the same thing? I don't know. But SysAdmin or Derek, he said that there is a micro center in Tustin, California, South LA. That's like South LA from here would be like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. So yeah, same thing. You know, there is no more fries, is there? Right? They went out of business.
Yeah.
They're done. So I guess. Yeah. So nothing close to me again, which is not surprising. You would think California, there would be like
California, there'd be something.
Yeah, there'd be some. There might be something here. I don't know. I really haven't, you know, researched that. On to monitors, and Acer announced a 390 hertz refresh rate monitor. This is their Nitro XV252QF. 390 hertz. It is,
I'm guessing it's a 1080 screen.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's 1080 screen.
Just with the name, the F.
So this is a normally 360 hertz refresh rate screen, but they have the overclock setting in it, so you can just like turn it on and it will be, you know, they've done the overclocking. I don't know, like how would you normally? I don't think you can like normally overclock a monitor.
No,
like they have to put it in there. It's not like a CPU where you can like go into the BIOS. You can
adjust your voltages.
Yeah, like so they have the overclock setting built in, so like when you go to your monitor settings, you can just like hit it and it will do it. 400 nits, which isn't surprising for like a gaming monitor. 25 inch monitor, we assume it's 1080p. Price tag is around $600. So if you're looking for like that high performance, I always just think Counter-Strike
and League of Legends and stuff. Yeah, those esports like, titles.
Yeah. Pretty cool though. Good. As we get higher, do you think we're going to get to 1,000 refresh rate anytime soon?
Oh, at some point, yeah. But I that's going to be a couple years off for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it would be.
I know we say like, oh, you can't see the difference between this and that. We obviously did at CES last year, 2020, right? In the NVIDIA booth demo. Is there that limit though of like, you know, we thought it was, oh, you can't see higher than whatever. Like 1,000 is so fast.
Yeah.
Like, I guess we'll just have to wait and find out.
Yeah. I think we'll see it in the mainstream within 5 years.
Okay.
Like, so like
mainstream?
Like 240. Not just like
it's a gaming product?
No, like, yeah, like it's a gaming product. Like, so okay. Like 240 is like kind of like the enthusiast gamer thing right now. Like 240 is, I mean, there are higher ones, but for the most part, like 240
is. I even think that's pretty high. Like, you think a lot of people have a 240 hertz monitor?
Not like a lot of people, but I'm saying if you're like that serious esports gamer, like you have a 240 hertz monitor.
Yeah.
So I think within 5 years, that serious esports gamer will have the 1,000 hertz monitor, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that's just.
I can see that.
Another story about Chromebooks, which we haven't talked about all that much, but I honestly think that if you're like, if you just need something for like basic tasks, it's not like the netbook, because the netbook was a piece of trash that like barely worked. I had one and I was like, this thing is, it was like an Asus one, I think, or something I got for
review. It was a Dell one, and it's a piece of crap.
Like they were just so, what did they use? Like the,
Intel Atom?
Yeah, the Atom. No,
they're horrible.
It was just like the idea was there, but it was just like there was just not enough horsepower at the time for like a low cost, low power machine.
They were ahead of their time. If you had them out now, which I mean, now we have Chromebooks, right? That's like what they ended up as. But yeah, the netbooks and everything, like they could have been so good.
The thing that was nice about the Chromebook too is that you don't pay that price for Windows. You don't pay that. The price that gets added in because they have to, you know, pay Microsoft the fee. You know,
I mean, it obviously limits you to a certain ecosystem, but yeah.
Yeah, but I think for most people, I mean, almost everything you do is web-based, right?
Right.
All your word processing is word-based. I mean, Google has a whole suite of online. You could even do Microsoft Word online too.
Sure.
Office 360, I think I have it. It's like Office 365 or whatever. You know, you can do all that. Everything is basically through a browser these days, right? So Chromebooks make sense for a lot of people. And I think obviously this past year with people being forced to work at home, you know, they're not going to go out and and the thing is, it was really hard to find desktops too, but like Chromebooks make a lot of sense because it's not a massive investment. Like, oh, maybe I have to work from home for 6 months, but then I'll eventually be back to the office. And I think a lot of businesses are like, oh, we'll just get them Chromebooks. All they need is the browser anyways to do work. Right.
Yeah. I mean, both of my kids have, and I will say though, like and this is kind of crazy, like their Chromebooks are, I don't know how many generations old that they've gotten from school, like checked out to them, and they're kind of slow and sluggish. But you look at some of the specs for Chromebooks now, and you're like, this is like a full-fledged laptop. Like, why? That's where my mind just hasn't figured out, like, why do I need these specs for something that's doing internet-based
work? I mean, I'm sure there's some...
I'm sure there's something that uses it. I just don't know what it is. You know, I don't pay attention to that realm enough to know what that is.
But there is this thing that shows the different segments: desktop. What is this? Why doesn't it tell me which one? I assume desktop, laptop, tablet, and Chromebook, showing their growth. Over since 2019, you can see everybody went up in 2020. Obviously, everybody's working from home. You kind of need that home, you know, you need something. But like, if you look at the Chromebooks, just shot up 275% growth year over year. That was just pretty crazy. But again, it makes sense. I mean, if I was forced to be at home and I had to work from home, and you know, I'm not going to spend $1,000 on a new laptop. If I know I'm going to be eventually going back to work, mm-hmm. or a lot of businesses would be like, okay, you have like $500 to get something. Like,
yeah, you know, I do feel though that a lot of these were school purchases.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, so many, like our main school district, for Wichita, they purchased like just thousands and thousands of Chromebooks.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, yeah, like I said, I wouldn't, you know, and I like all the schools that have homeschooled. I mean, they have to provide either the tablet or or Chromebook of some sort. I would think the Chromebook ecosystem would be easier to work in for them than the Apple tablet ecosystem. Yeah. So Finn on Periscope, he asked, can a Ryzen 5 3400G run Wolfenstein 2? Because I've been thinking about buying one. Wolfenstein... I have
is that the new Colossus?
It's
like
know.
From 2017, it looks like.
Because I have Wolfenstein Youngblood, which is that the newest one?
I think so.
And that runs very well on like older cards. So I might have a 3400G here, but I mean, when I tested some of the stuff, I mean, if you're running like a 1080p and below, probably it will run. It all depends on. You know, the graphic setting levels and things like that, but the Ryzen APUs, I mean, they are very capable for 1080p and below. So yeah, I mean, check out reviews, Finn, you know, to kind of see what it would do. It kind of give you an idea. I know Wolfenstein, at least for Wolfenstein Youngblood, like, I mean, on like the best GPUs, it gets like over like 300 FPS. So I mean, it's not like crazy taxing, and again, that's on the highest setting too, so if you turn everything down, it could easily run on there. So yeah, so let's run to the next story here. Talking about Apple, it already looks like, and again, this is just like an amazing thing, I think that if we look back on this will be like a big deal like years later. Looks like Apple is already entering mass production for their M2 chip, which is going to obviously replace the current M1. If you remember, we talked about the M1 just because it was Apple breaking away from Intel. Big crush to Intel's business because Apple made up 7% of their revenue. And again, you can still buy Intel part. You can still buy a MacBook or whatever with an Intel part, but everybody wants the M1 because it uses less power. It's less prone to all of those vulnerabilities Spectre and hacks. Yeah. And it, like I said, it runs it just the amount of performance that it got. So they're already working on the M2. TSMC is going to manufacture it. They said it's entering mass production this month, and then shipments can start as early as July.
It's pretty soon.
Yeah. It seems like they're going to Apple's a company that can really ramp this up too, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that it's, yeah, it's great. I don't think you're going to see the massive jump in performance like you saw with the M1 over the over the Intel counterpart. But I think that, again, this is just a step in the right direction. I think eventually, more than likely, you're probably going to see within the next few years, you're going to see all Apple products will only ship with an Apple CPU.
Do you think that that was the, kind of their plan? Their plan was Apple's plan. Move over to Intel so they could focus on developing the M1 for that time period, right? They're like, we'll let Intel, like, we'll let our software folks code for Intel, right? While we design the M1, we can put more resources to it instead of having to, you know, keep coming out with a new power PC chip or whatever. And then they, once they were at that point, they could kill off or start to kill off that relationship with Intel. You think that was their plan all along? Or
I don't know if it was all along. I think that a lot of the delays of certain Apple products were because of Intel. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, you know, you put out, I don't know, hundreds of millions of products with this Intel part. And now this Intel part has a vulnerability. You're like, why are we using this part? You know?
Yeah. And you're kind of reliant on a third party to. And their timelines, right? If they have a backup and now your product's backed up, I guess.
Yeah, there's just a lot of, I think a lot of things went into it. I think that if you think about Apple, you think this just makes sense, right? You think that they want full control over everything. They have partners that can build a chip for them, you know, so they don't need the foundry. They don't need any of the more crazy expensive things. They have a ton of money to put into the research and to the development and all of that. Yeah, I just think that, yeah, it's going to be, like I said, I think in the next few years, all MacBooks will be powered by Apple chips, you know. And then unless something happens where the performance isn't there, or Intel comes out with something crazy, where like Mac people are like, well, we want that, you know. I don't know how they're going to tackle the high end, like the, you know, because like the Mac Pro and the trash can thing, like those used like Xeon processors,
right?
Because those were mainly for video editing and, you know, content creation and things like that. So yep. I don't know how they're going to, you know, maybe they are developing that. We've seen some rumors that they might be developing higher core chips. We'll see how that all runs out. And you have to see too, is like they partnered with AMD on the graphics side. Are they still going to do that? Are they like working on their own thing? Like, you know, excuse me. Cause I would like to, it'd be really interesting to see like a Mac Pro with a Mac GPU and a Mac CPU. That would be really interesting.
They'll just put two M1s in there.
Yeah.
Problem solved. No.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, again, if there's a company that can do it, it's Apple. They have the money, they have the resources, you know. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah. Talking about Macs, this is not practical, but it's one of those things.
It's kind of cool.
We talked about these really cool mods and stuff like that. So this guy, we'll show us part of his video in a second, but he decided to put a mechanical keyboard or install a mechanical keyboard onto his Mac. And it's not like, if you look at it here, if you look at this picture, it kind of just looks like it's sitting on top. It looks like a mechanical keyboard that's sitting on top of the Mac, but it's actually like he removed the keyboard and this is actually built into the Mac Pro. Okay.
You can't close it anymore, but
yeah, that's why it's not practical. It's
not at all.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's not practical.
Guy's got the green screen going on.
Yeah, but he shows like how he actually, right, you know, took out the original keyboard and did all this stuff to it. You know, he did all this stuff to it to take it apart and to do all that, which I think is cool. Again, we don't see these things enough. I think they're kind of making a comeback. You know what I mean? But like how he took this keyboard and, you know, you can see how he took it apart and I don't know. You can watch it, but how he put it, you know, put the actual keyboard on there, and he, you know, it's part of the MacBook.
Now, sure.
Which is really cool. I think it's really cool. Again, it's not practical because, again, you can't close the MacBook anymore.
Can't really take it with you, at least easily.
But, I mean, I would 100% rather use a mechanical keyboard on any laptop. And we've seen companies, you know, partner, and they'll make, like, the mini mechanical keyboards that go on the laptops. Those are all right, but it's not the same as, like, a...
Right,
like this, which is the full size. Yeah, but you're not gonna get that on a what's it called, on a MacBook. I mean, he did all this, which is great, and I'm sure he did it like as a fun project, but like, I mean, you could just connect a keyboard and just
plug one in and
put it right there. But yeah, pretty cool little thing. If you want to check out the video, we have it linked in the article. And big news this past week, which is very exciting for us, is that CES is coming back to Vegas.
It looks like in person.
So CES put out, or CTA, Consumer Technology Association. I can't talk. CES 2022 will be in Vegas. I assume we will be there. And looks like in this will probably be one of the... Computex was already announced as a... half and half type thing. Most people won't be there. But for this will probably be one of the first big tech events since, you know, COVID and everything. So I think that I'm excited. I haven't booked our room yet, but I will eventually. I'm just kind of, I mean, you never
get a while.
You got a while and you just never know what's going to happen. Right. Yeah. Like things could get shut down again, or like, you don't know. With you know, how things are gonna go or whatever, so we'll see. But I'm excited. I mean, that's like one of the funnest things about what we do, is like going to Vegas for CES, like hanging out with all of our friends that we don't get to see really. I mean, I get to see Ryan in person and yell at him and all that fun stuff, and we get to you know, have a good time. And so I think we'll, like I said, we'll, if it is happening, we'll definitely be there. So I'm excited for that. And then our last little piece of news, I love how people like find this stuff and they're like, yes, it's gonna come out. So Grand Theft Auto 6, we talked about it. Nobody knows when it's being released, obviously. But Rockstar put out job postings for game testers. So people are like, oh, the game's ready to, you know, they're ready to test it. It's ready to come out. Yeah. So, I mean, people have, you know, it's all the, you know, people are just going on this stuff. But, I mean, it could be soon. It's cool. You know what I mean? Game tests.
I really hope they come out with a simultaneous launch this time, as opposed to making us PC players wait, you know, like a year to get the title, because I'm not buying a next gen console just to play it this time around.
Yeah, I know this has a PC version. So later in this year, I don't know the exact date, but it will be the 10th anniversary of the GTA 5 announcement.
Okay.
So a lot of people are saying that that's when they'll announce GTA 6, whenever that date is. Can you believe that a game that people, millions of people still play, came out 10 years ago?
That was announced. I don't remember. I mean, but
it was announced. I'm sure, but like, and even, it's not like, still. Yeah, it's crazy. And it's,
and it, it, like, a really, it feels like game, an old game when you play it. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like an old game. It
still
at all.
Looks That's, good. Like, you see those, I don't want to call it a render, but like the cinematics that people make in it.
Yeah.
And like all the mods they put on, you're like, God, that game, that's the same game. It is a lot of fun. I haven't played that game in forever. I should load it up on Xbox or something.
Yeah. So coming up next week, I will have some more stuff, because I took some pictures today, so we're back on track for reviews. But an interesting product that I will be taking a look at is from BioStar. So we know that, I always say this, we know the It used to be the big three. Now I consider it's a big four. The big four motherboard manufacturers are Asus, Gigabyte, MSI, and ASRock. When you're buying a motherboard, those are the four companies that
you can feel comfortable with. Yep.
You can feel comfortable with. BioStar has kind of been in and out of the scene. And last generation, they had some current gen boards. Now they've gone full throttle with their boards. So I'm going to be taking a look at their Z590 GTA, which is like their racing themed board. And I have to say, I've had no issues with it so far.
Sweet.
No BIOS issues. BIOS looks good. No, I mean, I overclocked the 11900K on it. No issues so far. It is pretty, you know.
My experience with BioStar has been pretty favorable, right? I've had a couple of their boards across multiple platforms and never really had any issues, but they just weren't that, like you said, one of those top vendors for boards. And even then, ASRock is kind of new to that group, right? It used to be those top three for the longest time. ASRock has kind of stepped up and joined the ranks, because BioStar's had boards for just about every product line, you know, for multiple generations. It's just they just aren't that popular. They just don't have that name and the reputation.
Notoriety,
right? So no, I'm excited to see. And
this board like this looks nice. Like this blue, and this is all RGB lighting. Like it looks pretty nice. So, like I said, we'll have to see on the review next week, but definitely stay tuned for this. USB
2.0 headers.
So they're not all USB 2.0 headers. Like this, I think
there's one like some of them are.
Yeah, one's like a front panel. I was like kind of surprised at first because like this is your audio, and then like so you can see which ones are USB by the headers.
But
like some of them are front panel. Yeah, I was kind of surprised at that too. So yeah, we'll go ahead and check this out for you guys next week. So I'm excited to go ahead and take a look at that.
Sweet.
And as we come to the end here, we talk about if we did anything cool this past week or checked anything out. There was this show on Netflix that I was watching that I want to tell you guys about, but I forget what it's called. I'm going to try to bring it up here. But did you do anything cool this week?
Did I? Yeah, like Thursday, I went to an estate sale. I don't know if you saw this picture on my Facebook I posted, but I went to an estate sale last Thursday morning, and it was like just an awesome experience. Let me just grab the gem of the morning was my
how old is that?
Oh gee. Let's see here. This is a 1970 or I'm sorry, a 1980. Empire Strikes Back, Imperial Stormtrooper. Like the only issue with it, other than the card being kind of warped, but like the plastic around it is not yellowed. The trooper is like bright white, but the gun fell off of the tape that's like this side. So, but I think I'll keep it. I was debating selling it. Let me get back into focus here. So I got that and like a. Oh, his legs just fell off. Yeah, he's broken. But a Steve Austin $6 million man with a little eye you can see through.
I haven't been to like a yard sale in so long.
Yeah, this one was nuts. I got a ton of stuff, so just crazy. Nice. So that was my excitement.
So this new show.
Yeah,
but mine's not as cool as yours. New show that I started watching. I'm like two episodes in. It's called Shadow and Bone. I don't know if this is based off a book or
pretty good though.
But it's pretty good. It's kind of like sci-fi ish. I haven't really got like the whole deal of it. You know, but that's pretty cool. So if you guys have Netflix, go ahead and check that out. If you're into like kind of sci-fi type stuff, it's pretty cool. I also finished The Mandalorian finally.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I finally just finished it. I'm not going to ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but it's good. One thing I did notice though, I don't know if it's just me or at least comparing The Mandalorian to like the old, like the original three movies. Do the effects in the original three movies look better?
What?
Than like some of the CGI? No. I don't know.
No.
Also, I felt like, I mean, I watched like three episodes in a row, like back to back, and it was like every episode, we'll go in, we'll kill these stormtroopers. It was like kind of repetitive. Yeah,
it is a little repetitive. I'll give it that.
Yeah. But I did enjoy it. I did enjoy it. I'm not going to say I didn't enjoy it, but I didn't.
Yeah. You know. No, there's a lot of cool stuff in there for sure.
Yeah. Beyond that, just working on the office here, trying to get stuff done, you know, trying to figure out the whole situation for filming in here and
hey, your shade didn't fall off.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised it did not. But hopefully by next week we'll have the inserts, so I don't even have to worry about it. But we'll go see. But we are going to be playing some games, are we not?
We are. So Apex Legends yesterday, they had the launch of Season 9, yes, which includes a new game mode and a new champion. So that's super cool. They had a ton of issues, though, that carried on through today of just like everybody wanted to play and they were having all sorts of stability issues. Wow. And then there's another game that came out, a free to play that was in kind of a lockdown alpha for a while and is still in alpha or early release. I'm not sure what they're calling it for sure, called Scavengers. It's like a squads of three game with a bit of PvP, a bit of PvE, some crafting, some battle royale. I mean, it's just like a combination of all of them. I've played it quite a bit. Yeah,
you made me download it. I didn't do I played it
a little bit. You didn't play the tutorial yet?
I did not play the tutorial, so
that's all right.
But yeah, so we'll be playing some games over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. So catch us over there. Ryan will have the stream up as soon as we get off of here. Hopefully next week I won't have issues and I'm like, you know, basically starting the podcast right when we start or, you know, get on there. So we'll have everything figured out and I'll have everything else figured out in this office. And maybe we'll do like another little walkthrough like I did last week.
You did an apartment video too.
That's
on your personal channel, right?
That's on my personal YouTube channel. I did put out an apartment walkthrough if you guys want to check that out. Just search my name on YouTube and you can find it. But it is there if you guys want to see what my new apartment looks like. It's not overly great or anything, but if you want to,
that's cool.
Yeah, if you want to check it out, I do go to my office in that as well too, so you guys can check that out. But yeah, we are going to head over to Twitch again. It's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We will see everybody next week.